The Word of Faith Netcast is on the air. Well, praise the Lord, this is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Word of Faith Netcast. I'm so glad you could join us today. We've got a very important message that we want to share with you, something that I believe is critical in these last of the last days that we're living in, and that is this: faithfulness. God wants you to be faithful. Faithful to Him, faithful to your local church, faithful to the Word of God, faithful to your pastor. You need to major. This is one of those areas that you need to major in. Major in faithfulness. I've said many times that what I want people to remember about Dr. Bill is that he was found faithful. And we're going to start a message that was recorded at Faith and Victory Church just this past Sunday as I record this Sunday evening. I ministered on this topic of be found faithful. Let's go into that message right now. All right, praise the Lord. So let's open in prayer and then we'll get started. Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to come and receive from your word. Father, I just believe that tonight you will minister by your Holy Spirit, that he will guide us, direct us, teach us tonight through your word. And I just believe that this will be beneficial, that Father, this will be something that will be instructive and will be uplifting and encouraging to the folks, and we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to talk tonight about something that is very, very near and dear to my heart, and that is faithfulness. Matter of fact, the title of this message, we want to call it Be Found Faithful. Now, that may not be perfect English, but I'm not entirely sure, but we'll go with that. Be Found Faithful. There's a reason for the way I phrase it as we get into the scripture a little bit later. Before we talk about being faithful, though, I think it'd be beneficial for us to know what faithful meant. Actually, I was interested to see that a definition, an obsolete definition of faithful, is just what it sounds like, full of faith. That is the initial meaning of the word from way, way, way back. It's come to lose that part of the meaning, but it makes sense. And I actually like that because people who are full of faith tend to be faithful. Okay? But the actual current definition of the word faithful from Merriam-Webster's dictionary online is having or showing true and constant support or loyalty. I like that. Let's take that apart. True and constant support or loyalty. You know, Pastor has mentioned folks before that have come to him and said, "Oh, Pastor, I'm for you. I'm 100% behind you. I'll do anything to help you." And then they're gone. Well, that's great to be for the church, for the mission of the church, for Pastor Ed, but if you're not constant, if that support isn't constant and loyal, it's not really faithful. Right. Now, second definition, deserving trust. Faithful people can be trusted. People who are unfaithful can't be trusted. And we'll talk about that in the third definition particularly. Deserving trust, keeping your promises, or, and I like this, doing what you're supposed to do. Amen. See, there's things that we're called upon to do, and particularly with regards to helps ministry in the church. Okay, that's, again, near and dear to my heart. That's one reason faithfulness, I believe, is so near to my heart, is because part of what God has called me to do is helps ministry. Okay, I teach, yes, and I'm a teacher, but if I did nothing but helps ministry, I would be fulfilled. Because helps is a real ministry in the church. It's not an add-on. It's not an afterthought. It is an anointed ministry in the local church, and it is absolutely necessary. So faithfulness is a key. Now, the third definition is interesting. Not having sex with someone who is not your wife or husband. Faithful, right? Now, that's the Merriam-Webster Dictionary definition, but you think about it from a spiritual sense. You know, God, in His Word, talks about faithfulness of believers. And when they go after another god, he will use terms like a whoring after other gods. He'll say, you're not being faithful to me as a husband-wife relationship. So I think that ties in perfectly. Because our relationship to the Lord, we are the bride of Christ. Okay? He's the husband. We need to be faithful to him, even in that sense. Now, let's look at the older definition. See, that's the current definition of faithful. I was interested to see they had older definitions. I mentioned the first one, obsolete, full of faith. That's good, but it is an obsolete definition. The second is steadfast in affection or allegiance or loyal. Now, that's really more what I really want to think about tonight when it comes to faithfulness is loyalty. You know, we have a vision here at Faith and Victory Church. And our vision is that people get it, right? That is, in a few words, the vision of the church. That people get saved, that people get filled with the Holy Ghost, that people get healed, that people learn to prosper, that people fit in and learn about the kingdom of God and everything that pertains unto that. We want to be here for people to get it. Okay, and that's the way Pastor has expressed the vision. And his position as pastor is the one to basically proclaim the vision. He's the one to proclaim it because God gives it to him. And then he writes it down and makes it plain so that we can run with it. So when we hear the vision and we hear what the purpose of the church is, and we can do something to help fulfill that vision, that's what faithfulness, like we're talking about here tonight, is all about. Next definition that's an older definition. Firm in adherence to promises or in observance of duty, that is conscientious. Now it's one thing to say, you know, and I'm going to use an example here. Anybody that's run camera, please don't think I'm looking at you or pointing to you. But let's say that you're going to run camera here in the church. And we haven't set up a schedule, but let's say we have. It's pretty much whoever's here and has been trained can run the camera. But let's say we had a schedule that was laid out, and it was your time to be up to use the camera. And you thought, oh man, I don't want to run camera today. You know, Sister Susie was going to be here. I'm supposed to meet her. She's going to be sitting in here. I wanted to sit beside her, you know. And, oh well, I guess I'll do it. Well, you're there. You're doing it. But is your heart in it? Right. Are you conscientious and observing your duty? Right. Well, you're there. You're moving the camera. But you know, I hate to say it, but again, I'm not pointing anybody. I'm not mentioning anybody. But I've seen people run camera and get talking to somebody right beside them. And the camera just stays there and pastor goes running off. And they're gone, and the screen is empty. And I'm back there going, oh man, I got to find somebody with a camera, you know. Well, I'm not fussing anybody, but it's a sign of not being conscientious and not taking the position, which is in helps ministry, seriously. And it is a serious thing, because here's the thing about our video ministry. You know, you look around at the number of people that are in most of our services, take that and multiply it by thousands. And that's how many are out there watching on video. So that may seem like a small thing, but you're reaching thousands of people every week that are watching those messages. So it's very important. Now, fourth definition. Given with strong assurance, binding, a faithful promise is an example of that. And the fifth one, true to the facts, to a standard or to the original, that is, a faithful copy. Did you know we're to copy ourselves to others? Now, this is something that is brought up in business a lot. If you are a skilled employee and somebody comes in and the boss asks you to, can you take so-and-so under your wing and kind of train them? What he's asking you to do is duplicate yourself into that employee. Right. Teach them what you know. Tell them how you do what you do to be successful at that job. Now, there's going to be some people who have the attitude, well, I ain't going to show him what I know because he might take my job. It's a bad attitude. A faithful employee will say, if I take this guy under my wing and I learn, you know, teach him what I know, and he learns the ropes, he'll take work off of me. It'll make my job easier, and maybe I can do other things that will be even more benefit to the company. And as the company succeeds, then I succeed. So see, if I keep my attitude right, taking this guy under my wing and duplicating myself into him or her is a good thing. Same thing here in the church. And even more so when it comes to teaching the word. I had an opportunity this weekend to had an interview with a friend of mine. He was interviewing me, and he was doing it for his website. And he asked me, what is faith? And so I said, well, Hebrews 11:1, and I went into what is faith, and I talked about that a while. And then he asked a question like, one of his questions was, how do you encourage people who seem to be losing their faith? You know, they're not sticking with it, so to speak. And so I took off on some scriptures and went off in that direction. I talked about studying to show yourself approved, worming the deed is not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, that you have to actually get into the word of God and put it inside you. That's how you get strong, because God upholds everything by the power of his word. If we can get the word of God in us, we'll be empowered to do what the word of God says. And so I went on and I was teaching along those lines, off the cuff, extemporaneously. And after it was over with, he said, wow, Dr. Bill, you know so much about the word. And I thought, you know, what I shared, I mean, praise the Lord for it. It was good. I enjoyed it. But it was something everybody in this church knows. Nobody, you know, would in this church would think anything that I said was deep revelation. But to this brother, bless his heart, it was deep revelation. It was something that just basically changed his life. I mean, he was talking about, wow, I understand more now than I did before. This is amazing. You could see the wheels spinning in his head. And I'm thinking, bless his heart, you know, we need to be sharing what we know. We need to be duplicating what we know about the Word of God. He asked the question, how do you answer the question of people who say, if God is a loving God, then how do these things, these bad things happen in the world? And I said, well, you know, there's a bad devil. And I went into the whole thing about Adam and Eve selling out their authority. And, you know, this was over an hour interview, as you can tell. But at any rate, I went into the whole thing about how it all happened and how we are fighting the good fight of faith, and that Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and that insurance companies say that it's acts of God, but it's not acts of the capital G-O-D God, it's acts of the little G-O-D God, the God of this world, because Satan is the God of this world system. He's the prince of the power of the air. And I went on and on and on. And he sat there like, wow. And I'm thinking, you know, this is not deep stuff. But it's stuff people don't know. So we need to be faithful to share what we know. And see, a lot of times we think we don't know what we know. I don't care how short a period of time you've been coming to Faith and Victory Church, you probably know more than, you know, half of the folks out there in other churches. Because all they're hearing is, you know, a sermonette and then go out and smoke a cigarette. You know, which is exactly what it was in the Southern Baptist Church. You know, I thought it was interesting that in our Tenets of Faith in Southern Baptist Church, which were written in the back of the hymnal, by the way, it said, essentially, thou shalt not smoke. And yet all the deacons of the church were standing around out there smoking cigarettes, like a smokestack. And I always, as a kid, you know, I'm a little kid, I thought, how does that work? Well, it doesn't. It's called hypocrisy. It don't say you believe it if you are going to act that way, you know. So, anyway, the point is we demonstrate the Word of God. We demonstrate what we believe by what we share with other people and by what we teach one another, even over coffee at Starbucks. Not here in church necessarily. You're just talking along and somebody says, yeah, you know, I always get the flu this time of year. You know, you have the opportunity to say, well, you know, you don't have to go that route. Why don't you come here and let's look at some scripture? And you can inoculate yourself against the flu by speaking the word of God. And they may look at you a little funny, but if they've never heard it, you have the opportunity to share it with them. And not beat them over the head with it, but just say, hey, have you thought about? I mean, one of the things I said during the interview was I was talking about the power of words. And he kind of looked at me like, words? And I started talking about life and death are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. All these scriptures that we know and we've talked about. Amazing. Well, it's just what you've heard. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Well, if they never hear, they're not going to have faith. It's not their fault unless we share it. So we need to be faithful to duplicate ourselves to others. Now, let me just hit a few high spots here. If we were to literally take every occurrence of the word faithful, faithfulness, you know, all through the scripture, we'd be here for a long time. So I had to pick some that just kind of hit the high spots. So let's look at the fact that God is faithful. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God. God is not asking us to be faithful when he's not. He is faithful. He is the most faithful being in the universe. All right? The faithful God who keeps covenant. And see, I love that. He keeps covenant. He makes a promise and then he fulfills it. He will always keep covenant. And steadfast love to those that love him and keep his commandments, which we've talked about the fact that commandments are authoritative prescriptions. They're things he has told us. That's actual meaning in the Greek, authoritative prescriptions. And there are things that he's telling us for our benefit. Not to try to cramp our style, but it's to our benefit. So those who love him, those who keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Now that's faithfulness. The 1,000 generations means he ain't changing his mind. He's not going to come up next week and goes, all right, no, wait a minute, King's X on that. I'm not going to do that after all. No, he's always going to do what he says he's going to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 says very plainly, God is faithful. Again, God is not asking us to do or be something that he is not. God is faithful. By whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise the Lord. Again, quickly, 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is he, God, who called you and who will also do it. I like that. Faithful is he that called you who also will do it. Amen. 1 John 1:9. Now this is one that I actually talked about during the interview that I did this weekend, which, you know, was posted on the internet. And I was talking about the fact that Jesus came, and I thought it was interesting because the way the Lord led me into talking about it, I kind of kept trying to think, how do I get this across without getting into terminology that maybe people wouldn't get? So I said, God is positive. The devil is negative. Okay? There's a lot of people, that's a revelation. You know what I mean? So God is positive, and he determined that there needed to be a fix for the negativity that was brought in by Adam and Eve selling out to Satan. And when that happened, negativity came in. Well, guess what? We needed positivity to fix it. So Jesus came, and he took care of the capital S, capital I, capital N problem. Okay? And then I said, now here's the thing. He took care of the capital S, capital I, capital N problem, but we still can commit little sins after we get born again. And he kind of looked at me. So I said, let's go over to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, where it talks about in verse 8 that if we say we have no sin, then we lie and the truth's not in us. He's talking to Christians. So he goes on to say, if we, as Christians who are already forgiven, that Jesus has already taken care of the capital S, capital I, capital N problem, then if we confess our sins, he is faithful. So we're talking about faithfulness. He is always, always, always faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Now, why is it just? Because Jesus already bore it. Praise the Lord. I couldn't bear it. Pastor couldn't bear it for us. Jesus is the only one that could. But since he did, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, little S-I-N-S, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Unrighteousness, righteousness, you know, means being in right standing with God. Unrighteousness is my standing with God is not on good footing. All right? We want to be in good standing with God at all times. Now, that doesn't mean you're any less saved. But I always like this example that I heard many, many, many years ago. Imagine a pipe between you and God. And he's pouring blessings and favor and all kinds of good things in the top end of that pipe. But as that pipe is coming close to you, it's clogged up with sin and unrighteousness and mess. Well, if we can get that pipe cleaned out, the blessings can just flow. Well, we're the ones stopping up the pipe. God's not stopping up the pipe. We're the ones that need to confess our sins as we commit them. Because I don't know about you, but I'm not perfect yet. Amen. Sorry. Even here on this earth, I'm not perfect. Like to be, wish I was, but I'm not. Amen. So that means that I got born again back in 1969. Absolutely no question. You know, I received Jesus Christ my Lord, confessed him as Lord, believed God raised him from the dead according to Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10. I am born again. I'm going to heaven. But even though that occurred, and even though I became a believer since 1969, you know, I may have missed it a few times. Think I probably did. So I need to confess that as sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me even now of that and clear that pipe out. Now, still going to heaven.
Yeah.
Even if I didn't get the pipe cleared out.
Yeah.
But I need the blessings to flow.
Yeah.
I need the favor to flow. So that's why I want to keep that pipe clean. So he is faithful. God is faithful. Now, he wants us to be faithful. Let's look at some scripture about that. 2 Chronicles chapter 31 verse 20. Chapter 31, verse 20. Thus Hezekiah did throughout all Judah, and he that was good and right and faithful before the Lord his God. Hezekiah was faithful, and he was a servant of the Lord, and he was a faithful servant. Proverbs 28, 20. A faithful man. Now see, I want to be a faithful man. And what will that benefit me? Well, it'll benefit me in the sense that I can do more for the kingdom of God if I'm faithful. And that's always a good thing. But there's blessings that come with faithfulness. A faithful man will, not might, will abound with blessings. If I'm faithful, the very fact that I'm faithful means I will abound with blessings. Now this word blessing in the Hebrew can also be translated favor. Blessing and favor. So, if I'm a faithful man, if I'm found faithful, I will abound, not just have a little, I'll abound with blessings and favor. Whew, hallelujah. But he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. I think that's interesting in Word of Faith circles particularly. I don't know what it is, but when I was pastoring in Salisbury in 1980, oh my goodness, there was this one brother in my church. Bless his heart. He got on every get-rich-quick scheme there was. Somebody come in with a multi-level marketing thing, and this was going to be the answer that was going to make him so prosperous. And he grabbed me and he said, Pastor, you got to come with me. I want to show you this great thing that God's going to do to make us rich. I rolled my eyes. Okay, here we go. And it was about selling insurance. You get all the, you know, cut out all the razzle-dazzle talk. It was selling insurance. I was not interested in selling insurance. And so I told him, you know, brother, praise the Lord. Hope you do well, but it's not for me. Well, of course, the whole thing was it was a scheme where you had to get people under you, and that's the only way you made money. And he was really, he was down about that. I wish you'd have gone in with me. And I'm like, oh, man. And it just seemed like Word of Faith people latch on to these get-rich-quick schemes. At least that was my experience back then. Now it's gotten better. Because now we're going to a good church where the pastor's teaching, don't get involved in all those things, you know. He always tells the story about, you know, if you say that you're in a grave and kicking both ends out or whatever, and it's a rut and all this kind of thing. Well, at least we hear that that's not the way God's going to use to make us rich. But at any rate, if you hasten to get rich, you'll not go unpunished. That's pretty powerful scripture. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required in stewards. Now, I want to be a good steward. I want to be a faithful steward. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And that's why I titled this, Be Found Faithful. We need to be that person that is found faithful. And notice, though, what it says. It is required. See, there's a lot of people that look at faithfulness as an option. Uh-oh. Here we go. There's a lot of people that say, well, yeah, I'll serve in the helps ministry at my convenience. That's not being found faithful. It is required that you be found faithful. Well, now why, particularly in helps ministry, why is that a big deal? Because if Jeff is on schedule to run the camera, I'm using that as an example. That's kind of where I'm at right now, okay? If he's scheduled to run the camera and he doesn't show up that Sunday, we got to scramble to find somebody to run the camera. It not only impacts him not being faithful and doing what is required, it also impacts others who now have to be pulled maybe off something else that they need to do to run the camera to take up the slack. Now, I know Jeff wouldn't do that, but he, you know, he'll let me use him as an example. So praise the Lord, all right? But you see what I'm saying? You affect others when you are not found faithful. So we need to look at this and realize we're required. See, that's why I'd rather you say, you know, I don't want to run camera at all if it means I'm going to have to be faithful. You know, I mean, I don't like that, and I wish you would do it, you know, but I'd rather you tell me up front that I can't count on you.
Well, praise the Lord. That's all the time we have for this week's netcast. We will continue on next week's netcast with this topic of be found faithful. I believe this is a critical message for this time that we're living in. If you'd like to write me here at Word of Faith Ministries, that's our regular address, Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 5213, High Point, North Carolina, the zip code 27262. Now, that's our mailing address. Our email address, or my email address, is drbill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at wfm.org. And wfm.org is our website. You can use that website as a resource for a tremendous amount of material and information that we have for you. We have audio teachings there. We have videos like this very video netcast. We have a tremendous amount of information that's available for you to receive from the Word of God. So take advantage of that. Go to wofm.org for all of that good information. And of course, as I mentioned, that email address, drbill@wfm.org. If you want to write me, I'd love to answer questions. I'd love to just correspond with you about the Word of God. Hallelujah. Join us again next time. Remember, until then, to fulfill the Word of God.
The Word of Faith Netcast is brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries and our partners around the world.